The reading of today is taken from Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach each other, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading tonight is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it. They asked him, Where do you want us to make preparations for it? Listen, he said to them, When you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, The teacher asks you, Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there. So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. This is the word of the Lord.
I think I understood the Last Supper in a whole different way on April 4th, 1996. I had just been called to a wonderful church in England. It was predominantly an American expat church, and the pulpit committee and the chairman of the church and several of the leaders were really the finest people I had ever met in a church. And they wanted to have a Monday-Thursday service. And I had never knew what a Monday-Thursday service was, but we agreed to have it. And 12 people showed up, including the chair of the pulpit committee, the chairman of the church, several of the key leaders, and their spouses. And what made this particular communion service so unique was over the month or so before this April 4th gathering, all of them had received word that they were going back to the United States. These were the people who had convinced me to go across the Atlantic, and now they were abandoning me. And when I got over my own sense of anger, confusion, fear, something very special happened. You see, they had gone through some very difficult times together. The pastor before me died a painful death of cancer. They had seen a lot of tragedy. They had seen a lot of joy. They had grown closer to each other and closer to Christ. And this was their chance to celebrate, to remember. It was a Thanksgiving. It was a Eucharist I will always remember. Now, a few years later, a character by the name of Chris Yorks came to this same church, and we had a Monday, Thursday slash Seder meal. And we had it in a very unique location in Esher outside of London. It was the former home of the Beatle George Harrison. And it was the home that the Beatles, when they came back from a tour in Japan, had been mobbed by a bunch of fans, and they drove to Esher, and they went into this compound, and they closed the gates, and hundreds of fans were beating on the gates, and then they took pens, and they wrote messages of love to all the Beatles. That's now a listed door in England. And the guy who was renting the house loved to close the door and show us all these autographs of all these Beatle fans. But Chris, as innovative as we know he is, it was a wonderful celebration. And things would have gone perfect except for one small thing. It wasn't just adults. Chris, was it your fault that there were so many teenagers present? A family event. And this house had a very unique pool in the shape of a submarine. And he used the proceeds from We All Live in a Yellow Submarine to build a submarine-shaped pool. And even though it was April and rather cold, the teenagers, Justin, you can probably appreciate working with them, decided that a Seder meal and communion was not really what they wanted to do. So they all jumped in the pool. And it was a wonderful celebration, but not what we had planned. But there was joy. One more memory. Daniel has been here week after week on Wednesday nights, and last Wednesday we were reminiscing. 6 years ago was probably the high water mark of a service that was called Oasis. It was a Wednesday night service. And there were all sorts of young adults. And we remembered how once after the Oasis service, about 30 of the young adults went on a hike up on Bowen Road. And we were just reflecting how wonderful that was and remembering and thanking God. But it's not just memory, is it? Daniel and I were able to figure out where are some of these young adults now. Well, some of them aren't quite so young, but most of the ones we can remember are growing in their Christian faith, and it was exciting to think about that. When I think of those 12 people in 1996, to be honest, I've lost track of about half of them. But the other half have continued to enrich my life in all sorts of ways and have gone on to do some pretty interesting things for the kingdom of God. But I'm back to like, Jesus, you had the Last Supper, it was the Last Supper, and then you abandoned your disciples. That's how I felt on April 4th, 1996. The very people, the leaders who had brought me to England, have abandoned me. Oh, woe is me. And there's some pain and poignancy in this Last Supper. But as we prepare to take communion, as we look forward to what's just ahead, I'd like us to remember with thanksgiving and look forward with hope. Now, it's interesting, this is when the Lord's Supper was instituted. But what are some other names for the Lord's Supper? Holy Communion, the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is an interesting word, and I won't go into all sorts of things, but from the word Eucharist comes the word charis, grace, gift, kara, thanksgiving, and joy. Now, aren't those wonderful things? Thanksgiving, joy, gift, grace. Fantastic. And Jesus, before he gave the bread and before he gave the wine, with thanksgiving, with Eucharist, it was a time of thanksgiving. He was about to be betrayed, denied, beaten, kangaroo court, crucifixion. And yet, he was thankful. And the bread was really a look to the past. This is my body broken for you. When we take communion, we look back to what Jesus has done for us, has done for us. Okay, true confessions here. How many of you like to read or watch or listen to true crime stuff? Okay, somebody in the church got me hooked on a certain true crime podcast. And so in preparation for this meditation, I listened to several episodes. And a poignant one was a woman who'd lost her daughter. And she said, I just hope I do enough good things so that I will see my daughter in heaven. It just broke my heart. If only I can do enough good things. Then just the other night I listened to one, and a very angry father says, when I and all his relatives are in heaven together, we're going to ask the Lord if we can go down to hell and pound the murderer and then come back up to heaven. I'm going, I don't think it works that way, and I don't think I'd want to be part of that expedition. But that's popular culture, which unfortunately is so true. And I read this week the whole idea of Christianity is done, done, done. The finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But for most other religions, it's do, do, do. But we look back with thanksgiving, with joy, at an amazing gift of grace every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And then we look forward. And Jesus says not once but twice in this passage, I'm not going to have this bread, I'm not going to have this wine until I have it again in the kingdom. And in 1 Corinthians 11, in the words of institution, it says, we eat this bread and we drink this wine in remembrance until he comes again. So we look forward with real hope. I want you to turn to somebody close to you, and if you're far away, I don't care if it's two people, three people, but I don't want anyone to be alone because part of communion is community. I want you to just take a minute and share the best meal you ever had. And who was at that table when you had the best meal you ever had? I'm not talking the best food you ever had, but the best kind of overall dining experience with family or friends. Okay. We haven't had time for everyone, but take another minute or so and make sure that other people have the chance to share their experience as well. Okay, it's getting quiet. My question to the crowd, was it the food that was what you remembered or the company? How many of you remember the food? Okay, yes. Praise God for honest people. How many it's the company? Okay. Wow, that's pretty impressive. My favorite meal happened in January of 2016, and it was an unlikely favorite meal. I was on sabbatical from here, and we were on our way to England, but Holly and I stopped off in northern Minnesota in January to see my parents, who were moving from northern Minnesota to Minneapolis. We didn't know it then, but my mother's cancer had relapsed, and she was very ill and didn't realize it at that point. Do not go to northern Minnesota in January. I don't have the centigrade, but the Fahrenheit was 17 below. When we went to the nicest restaurant in the nicest hotel in this small town, so there weren't a lot of options, the heat failed at the restaurant, which meant they couldn't really use their ovens. And it got very cold, and I have this wonderful picture of my wife, Holly, in my coat and her coat, a hat over her head, and her gloves on as she's eating. And we looked like we were eating in an igloo. And the food was not the best, but there were some extenuating circumstances. But that was the last meal, the last supper that my mom had with all her kids. So that was a very, very special time. And I remember as we were rushing to the car, my mom grabbed me and said, "Isn't God good?" Thanksgiving. I wish that the people that I was with in England, the young adults who were here 6 years ago, and especially my mom, were all here right now, because they were great people, and I'd love to introduce you to them. But you know, one day, you will meet them, and we will gather, because there's a new covenant in our future. And those verses that Amber read from Jeremiah, weren't those powerful verses? I'm going to have a new covenant with you. And I want you to remember, but God says, I'm going to forget your sins. It's not do, do, do. It's done, done, done. Alistair McGrath is one of my favorite theologians, Oxford professor. He was here, I think, last year. Brilliant man. He tells about what he calls an ancient aunt, and I think all of us have an ancient aunt. We can have that in our picture. And as he was growing up, he would go visit his old maid aunt. And there was a picture next to where his aunt sat of a very handsome young man in uniform. She never married. She had one great love in her life that she lost in the war. And Alistair McGrath says she wasn't much to look at in her 80s. But she was once a young woman who could be loved by a handsome man like this. Wow, Alistair McGrath said, how did she do it? Well, friends, we too are loved. We are loved more than we can possibly imagine. Let's remember that with thanksgiving. And let's look forward to the future that he has for us with hope.